I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 29th of October. This hour of the program, the Affordable Care Act, the Center for Effective Public Management at Brookings has done a survey, and their results are found in a report, The Affordable Care Act, an Experiment in Federalism. One of our guests is going to be looking at this, and the findings are that once partisanship is accounted for, federal versus state implementation of the exchanges has a negligible effect on respondents' confidence in the program. The real driver of public confidence in both the ACA and the federal government's capacity for implementing it is party identification. Surprise, surprise. Molly will be joining us in just one moment. Molly Jackman, Brookings Institute Fellow. A little bit later this hour, Kathleen Falk will join us. She is the Human Services Director for Region 5, which encompasses a lot of Midwestern states. So she will look at how the Affordable Care Act is going in all of those states. We'll be welcoming your phone calls. I think we'll have many on this particular issue. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. The question we ask you is, how confident are you in the ACA and the federal government's capacity for implementing it? As you know, we are in the state of Wisconsin, where the federal government will be implementing this program. But in other states, the situation is different. So what do people think about the way it's being run? Molly is, as I said, with Brookings. Molly Jackman is a fellow with Brookings Institute. And Molly, thank you so much for being with us. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. Well, surprise, surprise, political affiliation is at play, right?
I don't think that surprises anyone at all. Yes, on just about any issue in the country right now, party is at play.
Give us an indication again of how many states are doing federal exchanges, how many have state, and how many have a combination.
So there are 34 states that have chosen to either have a federal exchange or to partner with the federal government in implementing the exchange. 27 of those will have a federal exchange exclusively. And then there are 16 states, 17 if you include the District of Columbia, that have chosen to implement the exchange themselves.
And you looked at what? Who did you survey and what did you ask?
So we conducted a 2,000-person nationally representative survey in August, and we administered the same survey to everyone. We told them the Affordable Care Act is going to launch on October 1st, and then we varied who we told respondents would be implementing their exchange. So for half of the respondents, approximately, we said the federal government is going to be managing your exchange. And for the other half, we told them that the state would be managing their exchange. So this allowed us to really gauge the effect of having a state versus a federal exchange on public opinion and confidence in the successful implementation of the exchanges.
And what did you find?
We found that implementing the exchanges at the state versus the federal level is going to have a huge effect on polarization in this country. We found that Democrats like the exchanges more. They think it's more likely to succeed when the federal government is running them. Not incredibly surprising, given how much Democrats do tend to support the Obama administration and, by extension, the federal government. Republicans, on the other hand, were 20 percentage points, which I think is quite huge, less likely to believe that the exchanges could be implemented successfully if they were being run by the federal government.
Hmm. And you also have found that states with Democratic leadership, I wonder how this is playing out state by state in terms of how easy it is to access the Affordable Care Act, but states with Democratic leadership do want the reform to succeed, and they are more likely to cooperate with the federal government. Have you noticed, and have people in the survey noticed, that those states have done something differently? Have they made it easier? Are people happier?
Absolutely. So as political scientists, we're always looking for that perfect experiment in politics, and we thought we had one with the Affordable Care Act because due to a Senate-House compromise, each state is allowed to choose whether or not they'll implement the exchange themselves or let the federal government run them. Unfortunately, this is not the perfect experiment in federalism, and the reason is that there's kind of this paradoxical sorting. So Democratic states, which typically like big government, they like the federal government to get involved, they're choosing to run the exchanges themselves because they want it to succeed. And generally, the state's better at being more responsive to its citizens because it's just closer to them. So they're putting all of that energy into creating the proper infrastructure to suit their citizens' needs. Republican states, on the other hand, that don't necessarily want to see the exchanges succeed, they decided to delegate the task to the federal government, which means that the federal government is in charge of running the exchange across an extremely heterogeneous body of 27 states.
And yet, it's kind of a weird thing that's going on here, because you also say if Republicans are more than twice as likely to exhibit confidence in state-run exchanges, they really don't want state-run exchanges, even though those are more effective.
Exactly. So you have 43% of Republicans saying that they would be confident in the success of the Affordable Care Act if it was being run by their states, which is quite significant given how few Republicans like the ACA in the first place. But it's in Republican-dominated states with Republican governors that the federal government's in charge. So they're kind of doomed to failure.
Do you know if there was a long period of discussion about what would be the most effective way to run this? Would the administration much prefer to have states run this? Was that what the way we were going to go?
Yes. Yeah, so Democrats in general wanted to have a federal exchange. There are many reasons why this would be the case. For one, it would allow for the creation of economies of scale. It would let Obama be really at the head of the program that is going to be his legacy. So Democrats were pushing for this. The Senate wanted the states to have a bigger hand in implementing their own exchanges. So the decision to allow states to choose for themselves how to implement the exchanges was a result of a compromise between the Senate and the House.
I would imagine that all of this, as we're, of course, finding out these days, fairly complicated. Is it a big thing and incredibly complicated for a state to put together an exchange in terms of money, in terms of computer knowledge, in terms of letting consumers know about this?
Absolutely. It's a tremendous undertaking, especially since part of what's going to make the Affordable Care Act succeed is getting those young, healthy individuals who don't think they need insurance to enroll. And that's how we're going to avoid adverse selection problems. So, and then, of course, there's the computational difficulties and the technical difficulties. So in order to choose to have to, as a state, to implement your own exchange, you had to really commit to taking on a tremendous task. And that's why I think Democratic states were more willing to do it. They thought they could do a really good job, and they were willing to take on the task of doing so, whereas Republicans would rather see the federal government take on the task and criticize them along the way.
And at first glance, because it's only just rolled out October 1st, have those states who are doing it themselves been finding it an easier go of it? Are they getting more people signed up, or does that vary from state to state?
It's hard to know. The numbers are still very preliminary, but we saw reports that Oregon had a 10% reduction in their rate of uninsured in the first few weeks of the ACA. So I think that's a very good sign. And Oregon is a Democratic state where they chose to run the exchanges themselves. All the while, we're hearing these reports of healthcare.gov's failures, of how difficult the federal government is seeing the implementation of the ACA unravel. So I think there will be a difference in the long term. It's hard to detect right now, but early signs are that state-run exchanges will function better.
And will we be able to continue a system of both state-run and federally-run exchanges, or does that just complicate the whole system enormously?
Gosh, that's a hard question to answer. I don't know what will happen in the future, but my hope is that they'll choose one or the other. I don't think that there is a problem of having a federal exchange. I think there are certainly benefits. I don't think there's a problem with having a state-run exchange. Again, there are benefits. I think that the strange sorting problem of states that comes about because they're allowed to choose how to implement the exchange, I think that does create problems. And I think it further exacerbates divides between red and blue states and opens up the possibility of even more polarization in this country, which we really don't need.
And I wonder, maybe 6 months from now or 7 months from now, will you do a similar survey? Because I'm interested in those Democrats who are happy about the exchanges and believe in much greater numbers than Republicans that the federal government would do a better job. It will be interesting to see if they still think that down the road, Democrats, that is.
Absolutely. We're in the process of conducting more surveys. Morning Consult is allowing us to do a lot of surveys so we can keep good time series data on this going. So we'll definitely have more reports in the future. But it will be interesting to see if those Democrats with a state-managed exchange who think the federal government can do such a good job are giving credit to their states or they're giving it to Obama.
Yeah, well, nobody's giving anybody much credit these days from all indications.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right.
And the news reports.
No one deserves a lot of credit either. This is problematic right now, but hopefully it'll get smoothed out.
So what is your takeaway from your study? What are the major findings? What made you go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this?
Well, there were some findings that were predictable, which gives me a lot of faith that we did the study correctly. For one, Republicans don't like the ACA. Democrats do. Then there's the fact that Democrats trust the federal government more. They think it will be more likely to succeed, and that they trust the federal government to run the exchanges at about a 10 percentage point increase compared to their trust in the state government. So that's interesting, since typically there's a large body of literature which shows that citizens in general trust the state governments a lot more than the feds. And then there's this other finding, which I've already mentioned, that Republicans are 20 percentage points less likely to believe the exchanges will succeed if it's being implemented by the federal government. So all of this shows to me that implementing some exchanges at the state level and others at the federal level will increase polarization.
Do you think that this makes it difficult to determine, actually, what the truth is with all of this, that it may be so partisan in both areas that nobody can say for sure whether or not this is working because the sentiment runs so high either against or for the program that it skews all the results?
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's one of the big points that we wanted to make in the paper. It's too easy to look at the outcome of policy implementation and to say, oh, look, the federal government's doing a terrible job, or, oh, look, the state governments are doing such a good job. We should let the policy be run by the states exclusively in the future. The problem runs deeper than that, because these states are choosing whether or not to have a state-run exchange. And those states are the ones that are more likely to really push for the policy to succeed in their states. We can't really look at the outcomes and infer anything about who's better at implementing the policy. We have to be very careful in drawing such inferences.
We had heard, Molly, that there were some states that decided to do kind of a combination or take some of the federal expansion of Medicaid. Some states are doing that. What was the outcome on that? Did more states decide to go into the state-run fold or at least accept money for expansion of Medicaid as this process unfolded or not? Is it still really vary widely from state to state?
It varies from state to state. So there are 27 states that have exclusively a federally managed exchange, but then there are seven additional states that have partnered with the federal government, as you mentioned. Most of those are Democratic states, and I think that the reason for that is that they could get this extra money for Medicare. So it's still unfolding, and maybe more states will choose to partner up in the future.
I guess it's only logical that there would be some problems, but I'm sure the administration is wishing that they had done things quite differently and this had rolled out much more smoothly.
I'm sure it is, but we have to remember that this is an enormous undertaking. Hopefully, in 20 years, we'll look back and see these as a few wrinkles in the process to healthcare reform.
Thanks, Molly, for being with us.
Of course. Thank you.
Molly Jackman is with Brookings, and they have done a survey of people all over the country. The title of the survey is The Affordable Care Act, an Experiment in Federalism. And they found, of course, that when you look at partisanship, when that's taken into account for federal versus state implementation of the exchanges, what really here is indicative of what you think about it is whether or not you're Republican or whether or not you're a Democrat. So, and really very much so. It's interesting findings. We're going to continue our conversation about the Affordable Care Act. Kathleen Falk will be joining us momentarily. She is Human Services Director, Health and Human Services Director for Region 5, which includes the state of Wisconsin. We are interested with all of the hearings going on, including today in Washington. Tomorrow, Kathleen Sebelius will be testifying before a congressional committee. Today, for the first time, someone in the Obama administration apologized for the problems that the website has been experiencing, but said that the online troubles were being resolved. The overall program was working, even though slower and less successfully than hoped. We'll welcome your phone calls. I'm interested in hearing from you in Wisconsin and perhaps Illinois and Minnesota and maybe Iowa. You all are listeners, at least some parts of your state, to Wisconsin Public Radio. How things are going in your state? Have you tried to access the Affordable Care Act? I am interested to find if there are differences between a Democratic state and a Republican state, a federally run exchange, or a state that is not a federally run exchange, when the problems will be ironed out. If Kathleen believes that they will be ironed out fairly soon, we welcome your phone calls. So let's hear what's actually going on in the state. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen Falk is with us now. Kathleen is Health and Human Services Director for Region 5, and that includes Wisconsin, Illinois, and other Midwestern states. She, of course, was Dane County Executive from 97 to 2011, also Assistant Attorney General in the Wisconsin Department of Justice from 83 to 97. We'll be welcoming phone calls for her. They're coming in. We have all our lines busy right now, as I imagine we would. Send an email if you want to get through right now. And keep the number in mind, 800-486-8655. The email is talk at WPR.org. Hello, Kathleen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Wonderful to be with you.
I would imagine you're a little busy these days, Kathleen.
It's historic. It's exciting. It really is historic.
Yeah, it is.
When you think of what this is going to do for our nation and the tens of millions of people who've been waiting for this day to get affordable health care.
Now, you're overseeing states that have wildly different methods of implementing the Affordable Care Act. What states are you overseeing, Kathleen?
I am working in six states for the President and Secretary Sebelius, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And as you said, Kathleen, they're all very different.
Yeah. I'm wondering, we were just talking with somebody from Brookings about how states are managing this in very different ways. And if you have a democratically led state, they're much more interested in getting a system up and running because they're wedded to the idea of the Affordable Care Act, vice quite the opposite if you're looking at a Republican-led state. Is that what you're experiencing?
Well, I can tell you that Illinois and Minnesota, who are led by Democratic governors, as you've noting, have embraced the health care law. Minnesota is actually running its own system. It's the only state out of the six that is doing so. But the other states where there are Republican governors, two of them, for example, out of the four, both Ohio and Michigan, those governors there have been very positive about taking the opportunity to expand Medicaid for literally hundreds of thousands of their residents so that they get better health care. So there has been a difference amongst those other four states as well.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding, Kathleen, obviously the news is just dominated this week. We have congressional hearings going on about why it's so difficult for this computer system to be up and running. What are you hearing from the administration concerning when it's going to be fully up and running?
Well, you know, President Obama and Secretary Sebelius are the first to have said the website itself is not operating as they would have it. President Obama says, you know, health care, we've got the market, we've got the product ready to go. We now need to make sure, in his words, that the doors are wide open so that people can purchase this very affordable health insurance, many for the first time in their lives. And he has devoted a lot of resources. Kathleen Sebelius announced an A-team last week that has come in with great management and technological experience to help improve the system, the website. But first and foremost, the President and Secretary Sebelius continue to remind us that the Affordable Care Act isn't just a website. It is, for the first time in our nation's history, a single place where people can go, whether they had a pre-existing condition and couldn't get insurance or couldn't afford it before, and be able to purchase health insurance in an affordable, easy-to-way understand. And so, you know, keeping our eye on the prize, that we are still just 4 weeks into a 26-week enrollment process, I think is important.
What are you hearing from people in the states concerning sign-up, Kathleen? Are they finding ways other than the website? Are they experiencing problems and frustration with signing up for the website, and can you assure them that'll be fixed soon? Or
I can tell you, I am out and about in these six states a lot. Last night I was in Detroit. A Monday ago I was in Wisconsin. Next week I'm in Indiana, et cetera, and Ohio 2 weeks ago. So I'm in these states a lot, and at each of these events where people can come and learn about the Affordable Care Act, people are patient and they are hungry for information. You know, as I said before, for many people, they have been shut out of the insurance marketplace their whole lives. They either thought they could never afford it, or they could afford it, but they couldn't get it. They couldn't buy it. If you had a pre-existing cancer, you know, there would be very, very hard to find anything that was remotely affordable for your insurance. So those kinds of categories of people who have been waiting for decades for this day to come, they're willing to wait another few weeks for the website, but they also don't have to wait further. There are a number of options for how people can begin to sign up or shop and think about it and then sign up. You know, we have until March 31st to sign up. If you want your coverage to begin January 1st, you need to sign up by the middle of December. But there is this six-month enrollment period. And like any major purchase in your life, people will shop, they will think about it, they'll talk to their family members, and then they'll come back and purchase. And that is what we are seeing. But there are a number of ways to move forward besides looking at the website and doing research there.
What are those?
For example, especially from some folks older like maybe us type, you can do a good old-fashioned snail mail application. It's a three-page application. You send it in to the address on the application, and you will get back in the mail information about what you are eligible for, the kinds of plans, whether you are available for tax credits or cost sharing, which is available to people that are 400% of the federal poverty level. And you can begin to shop that way. A third way you can begin to shop or purchase over the line if you want is by calling the toll-free hotline. It is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I am told the wait time is now about 30 seconds. You will reach one of about 10,000 trained staff people, customer representatives on the other end of the line. And you can ask them questions of any kind or shape about the Affordable Care Act. You can ask them to look on the website for you and give you a choice of plans. You can purchase it over the line, over the phone, if you wish to. The phone line is also available in 150 languages, and there's a hearing-impaired line as well. That toll-free number, is that all right if I give that, Kathleen?
Yes, of course.
It's 1-318-2596. I'll say it one more time, 1-800-318-2596. To date, this phone center alone has received over 1.5 million calls that it has handled. And to give, again, perspective of the appetite there and people eager to get onto the website, in the first 3 days, the website had more than 8 million visitors. So the interest is high, the product is there, and people are being patient and yet have 5 more months to be able to enroll.
Let's welcome phone calls. We have many of them. Kathleen, our number is 800-486-8655. Kathleen Falk is the Region 5 Health and Human Services Director, and so she knows about the Affordable Care Act in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan. We start our calls with Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, ladies. I was just wondering, when I finish talking to you.
Hello, Steve. I don't. Steve is gone. Let's go next to Scott in Wisconsin. Hi, Scott.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
All right, Scott. How are you?
Good.
I
know time is short, but I find it hard to believe that they're finding more. A lot of people is accepting this and everything. I don't like it. I don't. Number one, I don't own a computer. I find it very difficult to try to even sign up for the thing, you know. And this thing that it's going to be affordable, or whatever. They're going to force us to take a pay a plan that's going to. It's going to be a choice between either food or that health insurance.
Do you have insurance, Scott?
Maybe even our housing.
Do you have health insurance now, Scott?
Do I have health insurance now? Yeah.
Okay, through your employer?
Yeah.
All right. If it's through your employer, most people will stick with that, won't they, Kathleen?
Yes, and Scott, I'm glad you called because it's a point that I should make frequently, and it's important. For about 90% of Wisconsinites have insurance, just like Scott is saying he does. You do not need to do anything. So 90% maybe of our listeners, you do not need to do anything. For example, if you have private insurance like Scott, you do not need to do anything. If you are on Medicare, you do not need to do anything. So this is really aimed at, intended for those 10% of Wisconsinites who don't have insurance. And like I said in those examples I gave before, have just really been shut out of the insurance marketplace. So that's a kind of a first thing to know. The second to know of tens of millions of Americans who are eager to buy health insurance, some of the provisions in the Affordable Care Act are already making insurance better for all of us. Let me give an example.
Sure.
Under the Affordable Care Act, having nothing to do with this enrollment period that's going on, for some time now, for us who worry about our younger children, those 19-year-olds to 26-year-olds, as they go off to school or go off to live their independent lives, they would leave our health insurance policies and be mostly uninsured and at great risk. Now, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, young people can automatically stay on their parents' health insurance policy, even if they're away at school, for example, or not living at home, until they turn 26. That means 64,000 young people in Wisconsin are protected under their parents' health insurance that weren't before, as one example. Another example that might be helpful to Scott again and the other listeners here who already have insurance and are satisfied with their insurance, do not need to do anything. Your benefits ought to be better already because of the Affordable Care Act, because one of the requirements is that private insurance provide 10 essential health care benefits with no out-of-pocket costs, such as blood pressure and cholesterol screenings, pap tests or mammograms for women, flu shots or cancer screenings. So those are really valuable in helping keep people healthy so they don't have to choose, as Scott was worrying about, paying the food bill or paying the medical bill.
Thanks, Scott. Ronaldo in Chicago. Hi.
Hi. My premiums went up, and I also lost my health coverage. So with all due respect, your talking points really isn't that good because I was told that I would not lose my coverage, in which I did. I was told my premiums would go down, in which they have not. So what I don't understand is you need all these healthy people to sign up, and you're not getting it across the board, so I don't see how you're going to pay for this.
Your company stopped giving health insurance, Ronaldo?
Ma'am, my company dropped our health because of Obamacare. So now, I hear spin on the television and the media about how you're going to keep your coverage and all that. That is not true.
Well, it's not if your company decides not to give you health insurance. Is there a lot of that going on, Kathleen?
Not that we are hearing about, and I'm really sorry to hear Ronaldo's experience in Chicago. I think that's where he said he was calling from. So a couple of points to help be responsive to him and how vulnerable you must feel in the workplace if your employer would do that. What the data has shown nationally is that about 6 out of 10 consumers will be able to purchase insurance through this marketplace for $100 or less a month. The data we now have You know, the health plans that are being offered by the private insurance companies are in the marketplace, in this website, and they have come in at lower costs than what had been forecasted or worried about some months before the marketplace opened. And it increases the competition amongst insurance providers. You know, I have in front of me the Wisconsin numbers, and that is that there are about an average of 97 health plans available to people in Wisconsin to choose. So that kind of healthy private market competition is intended to help drive prices down and to give people a choice of what they would like to purchase. There also are, mentioned very briefly in the beginning, several additional financial help that you can get if you qualify. One is the tax credits. So if you are within 400% of the federal poverty level, and for a single person, that's about $45,000 a year. For a family of four, that's about $94,000 a year in income. Then you can qualify for a tax credit on your annual taxes to help bring down the cost of your insurance. Or if you are within about 250% of the federal poverty level, you can also be eligible for cost sharing to help pay for things like a copay to go to the doctor's office or your premiums. So one of the homework that people need to do who are either dissatisfied with their current insurance, have lost their current insurance, or don't have insurance to begin with is to look at these plans. You put your financial data in that's protected privacy, and that the computer and the information then will be generated to tell you what you are eligible, and then you make your choice. It is a very consumer-driven process.
All the best to you, Ronaldo. Here's Jerry on Facebook who said, after initial problems getting on the ACA website, he was able to create his account, and now he's waiting for January. He said, I have been self-employed since 1984. Finally, health care I can afford.
Well, these are certainly the stories and the people I see and hear from as well. It is it's really a historic time, as I said, when just the people alone who have tried to get health insurance over the years and struggled because of a pre-existing disease, you know, whether it's your child with leukemia or yourself with cancer at an older age, those have been very real struggles for people. In addition to those who've just never thought they could afford health insurance and have worried about being one car accident or a break of a leg away from worrying about paying those medical bills. You know, one of the categories of people, too, Kathleen, who I know you as a mom think about a lot, and given what I know of your son's age, we worry about that age group of 19 to 35
mm-hmm.
who, you know, are fairly healthy, who haven't traditionally purchased insurance because they are fairly healthy, but who take that risk of getting injured in a car accident or, you know, a chronic sinus infection that won't go away, and so they're hurt, they're sick. And this reaching that group, that market, that category of people is a real challenge to helping get them insured for the first time. So especially you moms and dads that are listening here, helping tell your younger children, those under 35, that this is an opportunity to buy affordable health insurance so they don't have to worry about not going to the doctor when they get sick because they can't afford to, or you know, that accident when they're playing basketball and they break their leg and just kind of bankrupting them. So that's a category that I think all of us can help really reach out to.
And we'll take more phone calls in a moment. Kathleen Falk is our guest this hour. She is now Human Services Director for Region 5, and so she's been traveling to the five states where she is overseeing the Affordable Care Act implementation for the administration. That includes Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan, and Ohio. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Back with you in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen Falk is here now. The Affordable Care Act is what we're talking about and welcoming your phone calls. Willem in Colfax is next. Hi, Willem.
Hi. From my own experience, I never had insurance because I couldn't afford it. The only time I ever had health insurance is when I lived in Europe. But so when I finally could afford health insurance, I'm self-employed. I contracted Lyme's disease, which made everything having to do with my heart and nervous system a pre-existing condition. So the insurance companies raised the rates to a point where I just simply couldn't afford it anymore. So this, and then the idea, I think, that I heard it's not even true that these supposed young invincibles, when I was young, I couldn't afford health insurance. It's not that I didn't want it. It just wasn't available to me. And I'm, you know, so I think that that's sort of, and then in our own state, our governor, being ideologically opposed to the whole idea, has lowered the income levels for Badger Care, kicking, you know, 96,000 people off of Badger Care. So there's a lot of misinformation. In a recent poll in Wisconsin, I think there was a vast majority of the people in Wisconsin who are in favor of the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, I don't know why all these people are so in love with the insurance companies. It's sort of funny. All of a sudden, there's a big love fest for private insurance.
Do you have insurance now, Willem?
No, I don't.
Will you be getting it?
Well, actually, I did. I had Badger Care. I qualified for Badger Care, but they lowered the level of the income level to 100% of poverty, which for two people is $15,000 a year.
What about those people in Wisconsin, Kathleen? Those 96,000 people?
They will now need to go to the private marketplace that we're discussing here and purchase health insurance that way. And so it is a new category, again, of people who will be entering now this marketplace in addition to those who previously were uninsured. You know, another way that people can get information and help, too, besides the website and the toll-free hotline that I mentioned, is there are local assisters in most communities in each of the states, which are real live bodies who have been trained. They have been certified, trained to help guide people through this process. So you can literally get one-on-one help. They have to respect your privacy. That's part of their training. But for those who don't have a computer or just have questions and just want somebody to help walk them through it, those people exist in every community. You can find those people in a variety of ways, but one way is if you just go onto the website without enrolling for health insurance and just click on the Find Local Help button, it will guide you to organizations that are in your neighborhood and community to get that kind of help. And another way yet to also to get assistance is to use your traditional insurance agent or broker. You know, if you have a relationship or don't, but just go out in the market and choose an insurance broker, they too have been certified in addition by the state to be able to provide information and help guide you into the marketplace. To receive, though, the federal tax credits and cost sharing, you need to enroll through the website, because one of the ways to guarantee and satisfy all of us that you're financial data is, as you say, is by having those kind of cross checks with your what you filed for your income taxes and other things, just to make sure everybody stays honest and money is going where it should go.
Lance on Facebook, thanks, Willem, for your call, wants to know from you, Kathleen, if you have employer coverage, will you still qualify for tax credits?
You do not need to do anything, and if you have your employer's health insurance, you should just, and you're satisfied with it, you just should stay where you are.
But do you get tax credits?
Not through your health insurance provider, through your employment.
Okay. Sarah in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I quit my job 8 years ago, and I was told to start my own business, and I was told by my former employers that they said if I stayed on COBRA and did not have a lapse of insurance that I would have no trouble purchasing it through the insurance companies. And when COBRA ended and I went to do that, I think I called 5 insurance companies, and every single one of them said, there's no way we're going to give you health insurance. You have a pre-existing condition, and the condition I have, it's Sjogren's syndrome. It's an autoimmune disease. There's no medication I can take for it. It's not altered my life in one way at all. I don't ever go to the doctor. But they must have a list a mile long that they will not cover anybody who isn't young and who may need to claim anything from them. So a prior caller said something that interested me is that why is everyone so in love with the insurance companies all of a sudden? I just feel like they've completely cheated me, and I could not buy insurance. And I did finally get it through HRSP, which is a state-run program, and it was $975 every 3 months, and it was exceedingly expensive. But I stayed on it. So I'm excited about Obamacare. I'm thrilled that I have this opportunity to finally get insurance and get good care.
Well, your story is just so common, and that's one of the big reasons why this law was passed by Congress and signed by the president 3 years ago, because you are not alone, and there are literally millions and millions of Americans in your spot. So I'm hopeful that when you have a chance to shop on the website that you will find a plan that works for you and your family. You know, completely apart from this important enrollment period, one of the other benefits, though, of the Affordable Care Act applies to all of us who already have insurance, as well as those purchasing it now. And that is that no longer will insurance companies be able to discriminate based on gender. We know historically women have paid more for health insurance than men. That will no longer be allowed. Or they will not be able to discriminate because of pre-existing conditions, such as Sarah's example. That's a really important change in the law. Insurers also will no longer be able to cancel your coverage if you've made just an honest mistake in the application, nor will they be allowed to place annual limits on your coverage for essential health benefits. Again, a really important for people who have chronic illnesses and have to worry about maxing out everything. So those are, you know, very important provisions that exist because of the Affordable Care Act, and that those with insurance now benefit from.
Thank you, Sarah. Here's somebody who's not as happy. Nancy in Eau Claire says that she has two choices in providers. So much for competition.
Nancy, thanks for calling in. For the traditional or typical Wisconsin consumer, there should be on the website about 97 plans available to the average Wisconsinite. I don't know what the drill-down numbers are for Eau Claire, but there will be, even if it's only two insurance providers, some places that's more than people have now. And within those two providers, there is a range of insurance options from what is called the bronze standard to the highest up gold, silver, and platinum standards. So you can choose what level of coverage you want, what levels of deductibles you want. All those are personal consumer choices and driven. What I think she will find, though, refreshing is, unlike applying in the past for health insurance where you had to fill out very long and complicated medical histories for yourself and all your family members, that no longer exists. Because of these changes in the law that I were describing, that information is no longer relevant to the price you're going to pay for insurance through the marketplace.
Walt in Fort Atkinson is next. Hey, Walt.
Good afternoon, and Kathleen, thanks for all your service to Wisconsin. And look, I'm a retired mechanic, not old enough for Medicare. I'm also a veteran, and I am signed up for VA benefits or VA health care, but I don't get any I don't get a lot of care from that. It doesn't include emergency service or dental. And so because of the lack of emergency coverage, I have to have my own insurance separate from that, which is over $300 a month, just so that I don't lose my house. It sounds to me, from what I've been able to learn, that VA coverage disqualifies me or a person from the marketplace. But I can't say that, I can't know that for sure. And it wouldn't work well for me if I can't get into the marketplace and get a more affordable coverage. I just have to go back to my regular insurance. Do you know anything about that?
Yes and no. So let me answer what I know, Walt, and then encourage you to contact me so I can try to get the rest of your question answered. First of all, in dental, under the Affordable Care Act, children's dental care is covered under all these policies. Adult dental care is not covered, as Walt is describing. My understanding was that veterans do not need to do anything because you are already covered. I was not aware of the situation you're describing, which is emergency visits to an emergency room is what I'm assuming you're talking about. I need to check on that. So if you could email me or call my office, Walt, I will follow up on that so I can learn that for the future, because that is not something I was aware of.
What's the email, Kathleen?
It's Kathleen with a K, dot Falk, F-A-L-K, at HHS.gov.
HHS.gov.
My phone number is
312-353-5160. Okay. Good luck to you, Walt. Thanks very much. Kim in River Falls. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. I'm wondering what we should do. Right now, we haven't had insurance for about 5 years because we can't afford it. And we have pre-existing. So now when we go to the doctor, we go, we pay it off, and then if we have to go again, we go again. But we looked into the health insurance. It's going to be $800 a month. We don't have $800 a month. And that's with the highest deductible. So what are we supposed to do?
Have you been able to get onto the website, madam?
I have not. My husband has. I called yesterday. They tried, they did all they could to help me.
Mm-hmm.
My husband also lives over by Wausau because that's where he got a job. I have a job here, and we can't, either of us, quit our jobs. So if we buy our health insurance in Wausau, it would be $500 a month. Over here, it's $800 a month.
Well,
so what does someone like us do?
So I would encourage you to do one of two things, and that is to go on to the website or to any of the other methods I've described to see what the plans are for – did you say Eau Claire?
River Falls.
River Falls, sorry. For what the plans are that are offered in the River Falls area, and literally, look through from what would be the barest bones that you would want for your family to what you would ideally like from your family, because you will see a considerable range of costs. And that alone should give you a lot to choose from. But you can also choose to just go to a regular private insurance company on your own without going through the marketplace and shop the way you normally would for anything out in the private marketplace. What you will find, though, and one of the values of the Affordable Care Act is that an insurance provider has to charge you the same rate regardless if you went through the website and marketplace or called them out of the blue yourself. There isn't two prices depending on whether you're in the federal marketplace or outside of it. So I'm hoping that between all those options, you will be able to find, for the first time in 5 years, an option that you can afford. When you put your financial data into the website, it will produce what some options are for tax credits for you or cost sharing, and I hope that that will make it affordable for your family.
Thanks very much, Kim. We've been flooded with phone calls, Kathleen. So, again, give us places people can go for more information.
Healthcare.gov is right. The toll-free hotline is 1-800-318-2596. You can get information locally in your community as well through many wonderful sources. Feel free to contact my office. We have 5 more months here for the open enrollment period. So learning, doing homework. Thank you, Kathleen, for opportunities like this to help educate people. There is time yet, and I know people in Wisconsin, they are homework-driven, so learning what your options are and making a good choice is you got time to do so.
Thanks, Kathleen. Kathleen Falk, and if phone calls are any indication of our need to do another show on this, we will do another show on this. We've been flooded with phone calls. Kathleen is Region 5 Health and Human Services Director. It's Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, dot Falk, F-A-L-K, at HHS.gov. KPWHLP.gov if you want to send her a message. Thanks to KP Whaley and to Rhonda Fanning, who's in her last week here as producer of this program. We wish her well as she leaves for Texas. Send her a message if you want to on our Facebook page. So thanks to both of them. News coming up. We'll return.